Good morning. It is good to see each and every one of you who are present, especially those of you who might consider yourself to be a visitor. We appreciate you coming out and studying with us. I would like to, at this time, encourage you to open your Bibles as we prepare to study this morning. This sermon was requested, and it's something that really it needs to be discussed. And someone asked for me to present a lesson on the role of women in the Lord's church today, and it's something that I believe is misunderstood, or parts that are understood aren't understood quite as well as they should be. And usually the lessons that are presented on the role of women in the church begin with something like 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verses 34 and 35, where it says, "The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church." And usually they'll go from that passage of Scripture and go on to this next one, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and they'll read verses 11 and 12, where it says, "A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but to remain quiet." And that's usually the passages that are used to show that women have no responsibilities, no leadership roles in the Lord's church, especially when it is gathered together. Now, that's the way that most sermons on the role of women in the church go. Let me tell you, that's not the direction I'm going with this. I firmly believe what is taught in these two passages of Scripture. But I believe we have to look at the rest of the Scriptures, the rest of the New Testament, and see that while, yes, a woman may not take an active role in the church in its worship services, she cannot take a leadership role in guiding the church in the direction it needs to go, women are of great importance in the Lord's church. And so if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. And as we look there in Matthew chapter 28, beginning there in verse 1, we find there, after Jesus has arisen from the dead, these women. These women who had followed Jesus all of His earthly ministry, pretty much, who had followed Him and watched from afar as He was tried, and had watched from afar as He had been crucified, and had watched where He was laid so that they could come back. And there in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And His appearance was like lightning, and His clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of Him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, just as He said. Come see the place where He was lying. Go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead, and behold, He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you.' And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to His disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of His feet and worshipped Him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Now, as we read this passage of Scripture, it really shows the wonderful glory that is placed upon these women. For who is the first to get to preach and teach Jesus Christ being raised from the dead? Is it the Apostle Peter? We oftentimes look at him preaching the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. Is it John or James or any of the other apostles that are the first to proclaim the glory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The first to have the opportunity to preach Jesus Christ's resurrection are these two Marys. It's women. Women are the first to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling the apostles He has risen. And it is upon this that the apostles are able to go about and to begin the work that we read about. They above all others, through their dutiful service to Jesus Christ, were accorded the privilege of being the first to proclaim the resurrection. They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ before any of the apostles even knew that He had arisen from the dead. Many today, it seems, feel that a woman's place in the church is a useless place. They look at all the things that they can't do. They feel that they have no role of any importance. They can't preach from the pulpit. They can't lead the singing. They can't lead in prayer. They can't wait on the Lord's Supper. And they look at all these things that they cannot do and such, and they just begin to look at it and go, well, there's just nothing for me to do. Why even bother? And while it is true that these responsibilities and these privileges such as preaching and leading and singing and leading in prayer was placed upon the men, they do have that role of leadership, we oftentimes fail to see the glorious role that women have played in the church and that they can continue to play in the Lord's church. And so our goal today is to look at these roles of women in the church, to look at these New Testament women that we can find and take note of the things that we find that they were doing and the great work that they were doing in the Lord's church. And so let's begin our lesson this morning by looking at the role of service. There is nothing greater a woman can do than acts of service. Really, I think among the next most famous of the women in the first century church has to be Tabitha, or as in the Greek, Dorcas. If you would turn over to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36, we read about Tabitha, and we read about the care and concern and how great a worker she was in the local church. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36, it says, "Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in the upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, 'Do not delay in coming to us.' So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon." Now, as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, we see that it is noted that Tabitha was famous for the great deeds of kindness and charity that she had done among the congregation that was there in Joppa. And when her death comes, it brings great sorrow upon the Lord's church. I'm sure we have all known some woman that was a member of the Lord's church somewhere, and she was always concerned about the other members and always doing things for them, going by to see them, and the church lamented their loss when she passed away. This is how they were feeling about Tabitha. And we see that the sorrow was especially great among the widows, who it seemed Tabitha had really focused her attentions on. And understand that in this day and time that we're reading here, a lot of times the Jews, they weren't really all that concerned, and the Gentiles even less with their parents. And so these widows might have been left to the side or may not have had any family members to care for them. And so Tabitha, having a talent in sewing, she prepared garments for them so that they would be properly clothed. The sorrow is so great that they sent, when they heard that Peter was over in the nearby city of Lydda, they sent over to him and said, "Come quickly, don't delay, come on to Joppa." Edwin Crozier, a preacher friend of mine, once said, "I've yet to find a passage where a church called an apostle to come raise their preacher from the dead." You know, you're not going to find that. But here, it was so great, their concern for Tabitha was so great, her work was so great among the church, that they wanted, and they weren't. You know exactly why they were calling for Peter. There's no reason to question whatsoever as to why they were calling for Peter. They were calling so that he could raise her from the dead. They needed her. And in Tabitha, we can see a great and wonderful example of a role that women can serve in the local church. That they can serve gloriously and prominently amongst the local congregation in this area of service. In such a way that when they depart this life, the sorrow is great. Through the acts of charity and kindness that Tabitha did, the congregation where she was attending was taught benevolence. They were edified in this, probably better than any sermon any preacher could ever preach. Don't you think seeing her and the things that she did probably set a better example and told a better illustration of benevolence than the preacher could be preaching? And so the women of the church need to understand the great role of service that they can offer that no man can equally do. We can't even come close to the compassion that a woman has to offer to those that are in sorrow or are in pain. Women are built for that. That's why they are the ones who are giving birth to our children, because they have something in them that we men just don't have. And so we need to understand that, and the women of the Lord's church need to look at this example of service. And another great example of service that we find in the Scriptures is that of Lydia. In Acts chapter 16, we read of another woman who was a great support of the preaching and teaching of the gospel, and also the beginning seed of the Lord's church there in Philippi. If you look there in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 14, we're given the account of the conversion of Lydia and what other few details were given in her life. If you look there in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 14, it says, "A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." Now, as I mentioned, there's very little that we know about this woman. We know that she was of the city of Thyatira, that she was a seller of purple, and with that being a fabric used primarily for royalty and for the nobility and such, she was probably pretty well off. We can imagine that. And so as we see here, she hears the gospel and she obeys it. And we're also informed of the role of hospitality that Lydia quickly understood and began to perform by extending her home to the apostle and those that were with him. Here we can see the wonderful example that she had in having a great concern for those that are preaching and teaching the gospel. We'll look further as we read more about the women of the New Testament church, how many of them had cared for the Apostle Paul to the point that Paul considered them as a mother. Having grown up in congregations without family other than my immediate family, not having aunts and uncles close by or grandmothers and grandfathers close by, I can begin to understand these things. How great it is to have someone there that will take you in. I remember when Ann and I first got married, and it was the first congregation really that I'd ever attended that my father wasn't preaching at, and it was great to know that there was a woman there that took us in and treated us as her own children and encouraged me in the preaching of the gospel in a way that not many others have. And so it can be a wonderful thing to have homes opened up to you as a preacher of the gospel. And as we'll look later, we'll see that, you know, when you look at a home being opened up, the husband may make the offer, but who does all the work? I mean, think about it. The husband may go, "Well, you want to come over for lunch, or you want to come over for supper, or come on over and you can spend the night." But who does all the labor that is involved in preparing the house and preparing the meal? I don't think men have changed that much in the past 2,000 years, and I know how men are today. We'll make the offer, and then we'll hopefully call our wives and say, "I invited so-and-so over for dinner," so that they'll have a little bit of time to prepare. But here Lydia, she understood her role. And later in this same chapter, we can see that perhaps Lydia was a host to this budding congregation here in Philippi. If you look there in verse 40, as the Apostle Paul is being released from prison, it says there, when they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Now at this time, it's just the household of Lydia and the household of the Philippian jailer. And we don't know really of any others that would be involved, but here's this woman continuing to open up her home so the church can have a place to gather. There wasn't a local church building that they could go down and meet together in. They were meeting in her home, as best we can see. And what a glorious honor it was for this congregation to have this woman of means to open up her home and to allow them to come in and to meet with one another and to gather and to offer up worship. And as we look further in the Scriptures, if you look, go back a few chapters in Acts chapter 12, we can read of Mary, the mother of Mark. Mother of John Mark, a fellow we read about later in the travels of the Apostle Paul, and one that there's a little bit of problem. He's kin to Barnabas, and later becomes an effectual worker in the evangelism of the Apostle Paul. But in Acts chapter 12, and in verse 12, it says, "And when he realized this," this is speaking of Peter, "he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying." Now let's just pause for just a moment here. Let's set the stage of what's going on. You go back to the beginning of Acts chapter 12, and James, the brother of John, one of the apostles, one of the core apostles that had been with Jesus a lot, is put to death by Herod. And Herod sees that the Jews are really happy that he put James to death, and so he snatches up Peter. He's like, well, if that makes them happy, then if I kill another one, that'll make them love me even more. And you got to understand, the Jews did not have a lot of love for the Herods because of all the history that they had. I mean, you go back to the time of Christ, and it was a Herod who put to death all of the Jewish babies under the age of 2 when Christ was born. And so the Jews didn't have a whole lot of love for the Herods. And this is his grandson that we find here. And he's put to death James, and he's taken Peter into prison. And he's holding him over through the feast, and he's going to kill him afterwards. Now, it is at this particular period of time that you can see the fear that had to have fallen upon the Lord's church there at Jerusalem. And remember, it wasn't too long before this that Stephen was martyred, and that man who held the coat, Saul of Tarsus, had gone about wreaking havoc, or as the New American Standard Bible reads, ravaging the church in Jerusalem. If you go back to Acts chapter 8, you can see that he was ravaging the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem had been scattered, but here the church had grown back up. Perhaps they had gotten a little comfortable because Saul had obeyed the gospel, was now preaching for them and preaching in various areas. And here James has died. Peter's in prison. And amidst the sorrow of losing a great leader, the wounds really weren't healed from that. They are afraid of losing another. And it was at this particular time that Mary steps up and prepares a prayer meeting on behalf of the Apostle Peter. You know, it's really an amazing thing that we can see here, and it demonstrates the great amount of faith that Mary had. And let's also take note that this was not a small gathering. It says that many were gathered together. Now, we don't know how many that many is, but a lot of times when we see the many in the Scriptures, it's a lot more than just 10 or 12. It's usually running up towards the hundreds or more. And so we see that many were gathered here together. And think for a moment of the great amount of work that would be involved in preparing your house to be host to the tens, twenties, thirties, hundreds possibly, that were going to be gathered together there praying for the Apostle Peter. Preparing your home for the multitude that is going to be in attendance. Procuring someone to lead the service. Now, she could have used her son John Mark, I don't know, but she, we have to know through the Scriptures, knew that she could not lead the service, and therefore she needed to find someone who can. And so here we see a woman in a role of service, carrying out a work that needed to be done and doing it in a proper way, in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And it's also possible that this was not a one-time affair, that she was known for this. For as you go back and look in Acts chapter 12, when Peter came to himself, when he fully realized his release from the prison, he went straight to her house. We don't read anywhere where the angel who was leading him out said, "Go to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark." He goes straight to her house. And here we can see this wonderful work that this woman had done at a time that could have discouraged many. That could have caused many to just fall into despair. And she brought them together and no doubt built up the faith of many just through this thing that she had done. And here we can see yet another magnificent example of the important role of service that women can provide to the local congregation. And this is something that we don't need to underestimate, the power of the role of the woman. And we need to put aside the fact that you can't lead in the prayer and you can't lead the singing and you can't preach and forget all these things that you can't do. Folks, there's a lot of things that men can't do that women can. And instead of looking at all the things that we can't do, look at what the Scriptures tell us that we can do and that we should be doing. And look at the examples that are set in these areas. But before we close our lesson this morning, we want to look quickly at three more women in this role of service. And the first one we want to look at is that of Phoebe. We read of Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, you find really a long list of people, but we want to focus on the first two verses here, and that is, as we begin there, in Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been of a helper of many, and of myself as well. And so as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, we see that Paul bestows great amounts of praise upon this woman. Now, she may have been in Cenchrea when he was there holding his vow when he shaved his head and such. He may have met her there during that period of time that he was present. And obviously she had a great effect upon him. And so as she's going to Rome and he's writing in this letter to Rome, he's saying, you accept her and you understand the great things that she has done. And he instructs the congregation in Rome to help her in any way that she may have need to help her fulfill the works that she feels that she needs to do. And he also speaks of the great service that she has been to many, and most importantly to Paul, to himself. I can understand, being far from home, how great and wonderful it is for someone to just provide a meal for you. When we were in the Ukraine, it was just myself and two other guys. Our wives were not with us, and so we were without the comforts that we had grown accustomed to. Thankfully, in the hotel we were at, the comforts were rather comfortable. But, you know, you didn't get the home-cooked meals that you were used to and such. And so it was a great and wonderful thing when the women got together in the congregation there in Mariupol and prepared what we looked at as a feast. And we knew that it had taken them all day, and it was a great and wonderful encouragement to us. And they were really offering beyond what they were able. We tried to look and imagine just how much money they had spent on all of this food. And solely for us. And so I can understand the Apostle Paul and the comfort that he received in these women who were willing to open up their homes to him, that were willing to give him the care that he needed in providing him with a place to stay and food to eat and things of that nature, and the great service that Phoebe had been. We can also read of Nympha in Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says to the church there in Colossae, he says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. And so here we have another example of a woman opening up her house to host the local congregation. And just once again, imagine if you would, the great amount of work that would be involved, the interruption of your daily routines. Think about it, folks. You ever have somebody over just one night a month? Just, you know, one night out of the week and you have somebody over and, you know, you miss some of the TV shows that you're used to watching or things of that nature, you know. It adds to what you normally do in the week. Imagine doing that every week, preparing your house for 10, 20, 50, 100 or more people coming in and to invade your house every Sunday for the Lord's service. Think of the great encouragement that it was to the local congregation that she was willing to open up her home. You know, many of us grew up in the Lord's church and grew up in a church that was already established, and we don't really realize exactly all that goes through in procuring a place to have a worship service and preparing the building and things of that nature. We don't really look at the struggles that the first century church went through. And so it was a great encouragement to the Lord's church there in Laodicea, this congregation that was able to meet in her house. And lastly, before we close our lesson this morning, we want to quickly look at this woman, Prisca or Priscilla. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, there in verse 19, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, says, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Now, we're going to talk about her more this evening as we look at the role of women in evangelism and teaching. And we can see that she was an effective teacher of the Lord's gospel. But note here that with her husband, she provided a meeting place for the congregation that was there in Ephesus. Paul, as we can look in the scriptures, he had left them behind. If you look in Acts chapter 18, they had traveled with him and he left them in Ephesus. And later we see them in Ephesus as we come across the gentleman Apollos and the effect that Aquila and Priscilla had upon him. But here they're in this town of Ephesus, and this is not their hometown. They were used to living in Rome and had been kicked out. And so here they are, they're in a foreign town, they've been moved a couple of times, and yet they see the need for the congregation there to have a place to meet. And once again, any woman present today will know that much of the preparations probably fell upon Priscilla, cleaning up the house, preparing everything for all the ones that were to come and to spend time and worship. And, you know, I've been in worship services in the home, and oftentimes there's a lingering afterwards that we miss out a little bit on with the worship services in the Lord's church building as we have here. And once again, I don't think men have changed all that much, that we can believe that she did much of this work herself. But here we can see just one of the roles that women can have a great part in, that women can do a great work in the Lord's church if they'll but put forth the efforts that they need to be doing, if they'll just look at what they can do instead of focusing on what they can't. There's great work that can be done in the Lord's church. And as we'll talk this evening, the Lord's church cannot grow really to its full potential until the women are doing all that they can in the roles that are available to them. But we live in a world that's filled with the feminist ideas that women are equal to men, and I'll not deny that. In many ways, women are equal to men. But the Lord, not me, not Paul, not Peter, not anyone else, the Lord set the men as the head over the woman and in the leadership role in the local church. But that does not diminish the role of women in the Lord's church. And let me tell you, as we can see in these women that we've been looking at and that we'll look at further this evening, there is great glory and honor that is involved in the work that women can do in the Lord's church. And the Apostle Paul devotes quite a bit of time in the writing of his letters and in writing of certain individuals. He speaks of many women that had done great service to him and to local churches. And so let's look at these things in all honesty and understand the role that we can do, and let's be doing all that we can in that particular role. But at this time, we want to offer the Lord's invitation to any who are here who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who have not come forward and confessed their belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have repented of their sins and have not been baptized. The invitation is offered to you. And this is an invitation that the Lord offers every day of our life, but we do not know how long that life will continue. We do not know how long this world will continue to stand. And so let's not bear too much on the long-suffering and the patience of God. If you believe, obey. But perhaps you've obeyed the gospel at some point in time in your life, but you've departed from the Lord. You haven't been faithful to Him. You've returned back into the world. Then today, this day is the time that the Lord has allowed you. He has guaranteed you this moment to return to Him. And so if you need to make your life right, whether in obedient service to God or returning to Him, do so now as we stand and as we sing.